Welcome to Capital Link's company presentation series.
I am Paul Lampoudis at Capital Link. Welcome back to the 2026 Capital Link Company Presentation Series. As a reminder, in this series, company management highlights the company's current operations, business development, growth prospects, and sector outlook. We have with us today the senior management of Heidmar Maritime Holdings, Mr. Pankaj Khanna, Chief Executive Officer. Heidmar is a one-stop maritime service provider and has been listed on NASDAQ since February 2025 under the ticker symbol HMR. The company offers a wide range of services focusing primarily on four key areas: commercial management, technical management, corporate management, and project management, with deal sourcing, ship acquisitions, and finance. Heidmar offers investors the opportunity to get exposure to the maritime sector through an asset-light model. For more information, you may visit the company's website at www.heidmar.com. And of course, Pankaj will give us more detail on that during the presentation. In terms of logistics, we will begin with a company presentation, followed by a live Q&A session. Please note that participants can submit their questions through the Q&A button on your screen during the webinar. Your screens will be answered during the Q&A session. Before we begin our webinar, kindly note that this discussion is strictly for informational and educational purposes and should not be relied upon. The webinar does not constitute an offer to buy or sell securities or investment advice or advice of any kind, and Capital Link bears no responsibility for the content. Let us now begin with our discussion. I'd like to pass the floor over to Mr. Pankaj Khanna, Chief Executive Officer. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks, Paul. Good day to everyone, and welcome to this presentation series. We will walk you through a presentation and then take questions, as Paul said. I guide everyone to the disclaimers and the forward-looking statements. Please do take some time to read through. Heidmar, as Paul mentioned, was listed on NASDAQ in February 2025. We are a maritime services provider. We are a one-stop services provider, so we do offer solutions like chartering, asset management, sale and purchase, and finance in one place, which is a bit unusual as compared to what is in the market. The company has been around for four decades. We were the leader in terms of starting tanker pools in the industry and remain a leader in the commercial management of tankers, building up a strong heritage in the crude oil and refined product market. We operate ships everything from 8,000 deadweight small bunker tankers all the way up to VLCC, the very large crude carriers. We have been at the forefront of digitalization, having set up our own proprietary platform way back about 20 years ago. Of course, we are an asset-light company, with our main asset being our people. That is the foundation of our success through the global reach provided by the offices, which are shown on the screen. In terms of where we are today, Heidmar is a proxy for the tanker market. So effectively, when the tanker market goes up, it shows up in our results almost instantaneously, as we make money from fixing vessels on the market and we make a commission fixing those ships. Today, we manage about 40 tankers under commercial management. These are, as I said, everything from 8,000 deadweight bunker vessels operating for an oil major all the way up to very large crude carriers operating on the international markets. We also have 10 tankers under our technical management, where we provide crewing and the day-to-day management of the vessels. Plus, we are expecting or projecting that we will have another 13 new building tankers over the next 2 years. These are soft commitments that we have received from our existing clients where they have new buildings under construction. In terms of the industry, we are at a very interesting point where we are seeing rates which are at historical highs due to dislocations from energy trade rerouting that has created greater ton-mile demand. And we'll talk about that, for example, Venezuela and other tensions that we see now related to Iran. Additionally, consumption growth remains resilient, unlike a couple of years ago when people were talking about renewables taking over the energy mix. Now oil and gas remains a very strong part of our energy consumption. Tanker earnings, as I've already mentioned, are at historical highs, and we'll go through that in the industry section in terms of why they are and what our projections are for that. The fundamentals remain very strong. In terms of the supply, as in the supply of ships, the order books are relatively small as compared to what is called the shadow fleet, as in the fleet that was servicing sanctioned trades and that is now out of the day-to-day international vessel trading, and also overage tonnage. Quite a bit of the fleet is overage, and these ships cannot trade efficiently and cannot trade with certain charters. We'll go through that as well in the slides. So, what is Heidmar? Basically, an end-to-end maritime services provider, where for a financial investor or a strategic, as in a ship owner, we are able to identify good investment opportunities, not just in the tanker space, but also in the adjacencies. But we're able to identify the investment opportunities. We can present that to the potential investor. We then help them with the acquisition of the vessel and also help in arranging the finance. And that's where our earnings start. So we charge a fee for helping the acquisition of the vessel, what is called the S&P, the sale and purchase. And we would charge a 1% fee on the acquisition. So for example, if we were helping acquire a $50 million Aframax, we would charge $500,000 for assisting with that transaction. If we also assist with the financing, then we charge a fee for that financing arrangement as well, which ranges, which could be as a little as 25 basis points to maybe up to 1% of the amount of debt that has been arranged. We provide corporate management for the acquisition. So what that means, we provide the legal setup. So we set up the company in the right jurisdiction with the right tax considerations. This is not providing tax advice, but we're providing the setup of the company decided by the investor in the right jurisdiction. We also then provide opening up of bank accounts, treasury management, and US GAAP accounting. We charge a daily fee for that. We provide technical management. Today, we have about 300 seafarers, of which about 220 or so are on board vessels, and then another 100 or so who are at home on vacation. So we provide the crew for the vessel, plus we also provide the day-to-day management and the ERP systems required to run the ships to the right standards. We charge a daily fee for that. And then comes to our bread and butter business, which is where we make the most of our money, is the commercial management of the vessel. What is meant by commercial management is the employment of the vessel. So we basically provide the employment of the vessel, where we charter the vessel to the likes of an ExxonMobil or Chevron or Trafigura or Vitol or other oil companies, and we charge a daily fee for that. Now, the commercial management may be in our pools where the ship's earnings are aggregated, or just for a single vessel, which is what we call commercial management. For doing that, we charge a daily fee and a percentage of gross freight. So if the earnings of the vessel, for example, a VLCC today is earning $120,000 per day, this is what the owner takes as the time charter equivalent from the voyage, plus the fuel and the port costs that are on top. So let's say another 30 to 40,000 on top. So we are making a percentage of $150,000 per day, which on a 45 to 50 day voyage could mean that on one voyage, we make $100,000 as our fee. So it's quite a lucrative business. And then, of course, if we assist the owner in selling the asset, then we also charge a 1% fee for selling the asset. So as you can see, this is a virtuous circle. We are basically involved in every aspect of this investment. Why Heidmar and what's so unique about it? Well, the tanker markets are fragmented. There's a lot of commercial complexity in terms of the contracts, in terms of understanding all the trades. And then, of course, the volatility in freight rates is immense. From one day to the next, the earnings can fluctuate between 50, 60, 100%. And if you are a small ship owner, you do not have access to the markets and you lack scale. Plus, also, there is this thing with KYC and credibility and vetting barriers. Heidmar has been in the business for over 40 years. We are KYC cleared by all the oil companies and traders in the world. So if a small ship owner wants to trade his vessel in the market, they cannot just turn up at the doorstep of Aramco or ExxonMobil and I say, hey, please fix my vessel, regardless of the rate. They need to be KYC cleared. In some oil companies, that can take as much as 12 to 18 months if they decide to KYC clear you. So that is a big barrier to entry in the market. So what are our solutions? We offer scale, we offer earnings optimization. And how do we do that? We have a global chartering organization that is spread out over the world that has networks and relationships that have been built over the last 4 decades. We use market intelligence and we are data-driven in terms of our decision-making, but always supported by long-term relationships. This asset-light, scalable business, which is aligned with the owner's interest, is what gives us this long-standing branding that we have in the market. Heidmar is a known and trusted brand in the tanker markets, and this is how we have achieved it. This is a list of some of our customers. And when I say customers, it is on both sides or even three or four sides of the equation. You have oil companies in here, you have traders in here, you have ship owners in here, you have bankers and financiers in here as well. So these are all customers of Heidmar. In some cases, they are providing employment. In some cases, owners are providing us a ship to manage. In some cases, banks are providing us working capital and also providing us a capital to provide to our customers for their asset purchases. So you see that this list is a who's who of people in the oil and dry bulk markets. How do we do this? We have our own proprietary ERP system that was developed almost 20 years ago and has been developed and redeveloped time and time again. We have over 10 terabytes of data. We don't work in any Excel sheets or databases. Everything is done on our eFleet Watch system. And not only is it that we are working on the system, but also our customers and suppliers and pool partners are using the same system to interact with us and to receive their reports and to see what's going on with their vessels. So this is an integral part of what we do every day. This is the system that we live on every day. And so this is a key strategic advantage or competitive advantage that we have in this market. So what has been happening over the last couple of years? So we have shown on the graph on the left shows our fleet evolution. So the number of vessels matter over here. So this shows the number of vessels which have been under our management. If we go back to the Q1 of 2022, you will see we start with just over 50 ships. We went to a height of about 25 vessels in 2023. And then when the rates were as high as they were in 2023, asset prices also skyrocketed. And a lot of the vessels were sold out of our pools into the shadow fleet, and they never came back into the pools. In the past, when ships were sold from the pool, many of the ships actually came back to us for management, but in this case, they didn't. This is why our fleet declined, because a lot of mid-age ships that sold out of our pools went actually into the shadow fleet. However, since the summer of last year, we have rebounded, and this is a testament to the model and the change in the strategy that we had, where we were changed from being just a pure commercial manager to being a one-stop shop. And we've seen vessels come back into our management, some both on technical and commercial, some purely on technical, some on commercial only, and some into the pools as well. So the number that you see is a projection that we have for December 26, based on the new buildings that we expect from various partners who have given some soft commitments. This, of course, also drives our revenue. And our revenue, which had declined in 2024, has bounced back sharply in 2025. Not just because the rates bounced back in the second half of 2025, but also because the number of ships have bounced back. So it shows how the model actually is quite sensitive, not just to the number of vessels, but also to the rates. As the rates rebounded, our revenues rebound quite sharply as well. So what is our strategy? We went public because we wanted to raise capital to grow the company. We were not looking as shareholders to sell out our shares in the company. We have, since we listed, not sold a single share of ours that we held at the time of the IPO. So the point of doing the IPO was that we wanted to grow. So we want to grow the maritime services offering. This is our primary business. We want to achieve scale on the technical side. Currently, we are managing 10 vessels. In the ideal world, in say 3 to 5 years, we are managing 100, 150 vessels. This is our objective. So we want to become a boutique technical manager, and we want to also have scale on the commercial side, where we have maybe north of 100 vessels under commercial management as well. We want to diversify into the dry bulk and container markets. This is something we've been working on for the last couple of years. Timing has not been great because the markets have been good, and people come to pools and commercial managers when the markets are generally bad. But this is an intention. We have shown our intent to the market. We have built up infrastructure to support it. And we think that over the next couple of years, we will see a concerted move from Heidmar into the dry bulk and container markets. The third leg of the business is to develop projects, as in asset investments, to grow the fleet and to leverage the services platform. This will give us a captive fleet that we'll be able to manage. So we're not looking to become a ship owner. We have not invested in a fleet of assets, and we are not looking to invest and create a ship owning company. We are looking to invest in projects which make sense for the company and for other investors, where Heidmar will own a certain equity in the stake, which could vary from 10 to 30, 40%. And we would then have the technical and commercial management and the corporate management of the asset. So the objective is still that we want to make our money from maritime services. We are not looking to convert this company into a ship-owning company. Why do people come to Heidmar? It's not just because of the unique offering we have with regards to the technical management, commercial management, the one-stop shop, which is a big advantage. But what matters is performance. So we show over here two graphs. On the left, you see what is called the Sea Lion pool. These are the Aframax tankers that we manage. And then on the right-hand side is the Dorado pool performance, which are the MR tankers that we manage. The blue bars on the left are the ones that we have. So we call them Sea Lion DPP, which is the Sea Lion crude tankers, and the Sea Lion CPP tankers. And we compare ourselves to a couple of peers in the market. And on the Aframaxes, you can see we are either as good as or outperform our peers in the market. This is why ship owners come to us and give us their ships. And then similarly, on the MRs as well, you can see that our performance is consistently either as competitive or better than our competition. And this is replicated across the other sectors as well. Talking a little bit about the industry, the graph on the left shows you tanker freight rates, the earnings going back to to 1990. So I've tried to show you over the last 35 years in terms of where we are. Now, the rates until 2025 are annual averages. The rate that you see for 2026 is just where the current market is at. It's not the annual average. It's not our projection for the market. It's just where current rates are. And this shows you the power of the Heidmar system. So the rates today for a VLCC are at about $120,000 per day. And this is the time charter equivalent. This is the rate that the owner takes from a spot voyage, net of their fuel costs and the other voyage costs associated with the voyage. However, we make our earnings on the VLCC as a percentage of gross freight. So if the voyage is at $150,000 per day, and we are just making 1.25%, that basically results in a 45 to 50 day voyage where we make $100,000 per day. That's a very strong result. And similarly, Suezmaxes are making about $80,000 per day. Add in the voyage cost, that becomes about 100,000 or north of 100,000 on a 40, 45 day voyage. That again equates to about $80,000, $90,000 per day in our pocket. So this is why I say that Heidmar is a proxy to the tanker market. When tanker freight rates inflect, our earnings inflect in almost direct 100% correlation with that. Of course, on the right-hand side, this reflects what is happening with asset prices. It shows you historical asset prices going back to 1990. Obviously, they were not at zero. It's just a function of the graph. But effectively, today, where we are with a VLCC 5-year-old asset worth about, I would say, 135, 140 million, prices have inflected and are reflecting what is historically high freight rates. When somebody's buying an asset at 135, 140 million, they're not looking to do that because they want to do a 3-year TC at 55,000. It's because they want to take advantage of the spot market, because the spot market is at $120,000 per day. Even if that lasts for 6 months, it basically de-risks the asset that you bought at a historically high number in a very short period of time. So this is where, again, the Heidmar system comes to play, where we can offer the spot market exposure in the crude segments, but also in the product segments where we are equally as strong. The final slide over here shows you what is the supply situation, because from a demand standpoint, and I haven't spent too much time on demand over here, because of the geopolitics, what we are seeing with regards to Venezuela, with regards to the sanctions on Russia, there is more, let's say, trading going on, longer haul trading going on, and the rates are very, very strong, are exceptionally strong. And typically in the tanker markets, when rates are this high, it's an aberration. It happens for a few weeks and then it goes away. But this aberration has now lasted for almost, well, it is now 4 years. It started with the war in Ukraine and Russia. Then there was the closure of the Bab al-Mandab, the Red Sea, because of the Houthi attacks. And then it was now what's happening with Venezuela. It's the sanctions on the Russian oil companies that have been enforced. And now also, of course, the sanctions on Iran, where their exports have been restricted as well. And a big portion of what impacts the market is this so-called shadow fleet. There are about 1,200 tankers across the board which are in the shadow fleet. Many of them have been sanctioned. And if the US provides licenses to scrap these vessels, we believe a lot of these sanctioned vessels will actually go out of the trade and will be scrapped. The flip side to that is, of course, the order book, because in recent weeks and months, people have been ordering vessels, and so people have started talking about the order book, about how big it is. So there are a lot of numbers over here. I won't go through every sector, but let me pick up, for example, the VLCCs. The total fleet of VLCCs is 891 vessels as of February this year. In terms of the order book, is today 154 vessels, which is about 17% of the existing fleet. But then look at the percentage of fleet over 20 years. 20 years is like a hard line for all major oil companies, national oil companies, traders, etc., where they will not accept ships over 20 years old. So if you take that as a fleet which is now marginalized or which is the candidate for scrap, about 20% of the fleet of VLCCs is already over 20 years old. So the order book, which is going to come over the next 3 years, only about replaces what is 20 years old, which in 3 years' time will actually be 22, 23 years old. So these ships will be completely marginalized and out of the fleet. So it is not such a concern. Let's turn to Aframax and LR2s. So I combine Aframax and LR2s. And if you look at the combined fleet of Aframaxes and LR2s, basically the fleet is about 1,200 vessels. Let me get the numbers 1 second. So the total Aframax fleet is 1,176. This is the Aframax plus LR2s. The total order book is 302 vessels, which is about 26%. So sounds like a lot. 26% of the existing fleet is a big order book. But then you look at the combined fleet, which is over 20 years of age, there are 280 Aframaxes, which are already over 20 years. So the new building order book, which is coming over the next 3 years, only replaces what is already over 20 years old. In the mix, of course, there are about 400 ships which are sanctioned. So if the sanctioned ships are also removed, which is some of them are already over 20 years, but some of them are also less than 20 years. Then again, there we see that the order book and what is to be scrapped is quite balanced. Of course, there may be timing differences in terms of when these vessels are taken out of the trade versus when these new buildings come. Overall, what I want to say is that the supply demand fundamentals are quite strong. With what has happened in Venezuela, where sanctioned vessels are now out of the Venezuela trade, and vessels which are in the regular way trade are taking those barrels either into the US or being exported out of Venezuela to legitimate destinations, are being done on legitimate ships, therefore increasing tanker demand which didn't exist until a short while ago. So overall, for us, we still believe 26 is a very strong tanker freight rate year. Our strategy remains to grow our services offering to achieve scale. We want to diversify, as I said, into the crude, into the dry bulk and container markets. And we want to develop projects selectively using our balance sheet to invest, to take equity slivers in assets that will grow the fleet, but for the right project, and which also, of course, leverages the services platform that we have set up. So with that, I will stop with the presentation and we'll open up to Q&A.
I can start here with the first question if you would like.
Sure, go ahead.
You've added a few more vessels on the commercial and technical management side. What are you actually hearing from ship owners right now that's been making them come to Heidmar?
As I said, it's about the fact that we are offering both technical and commercial management. We have the pool offering as well. So if an owner wants a pool, it can come in and join the pool. But many of the people are looking to control their destiny, so to speak, and have say in how the vessels are managed, and are choosing to go for commercial management. So many of the pools, especially like when you put a ship into a pool, you have no say in how the vessels are managed in terms of which cargoes are taken, in which basins are they traded. So you have no control over your destiny as such. So the fact that we offer that through commercial management is of interest to people.
Another question. What distinguishes you from other ship brokers, which in most cases are much larger and more tied into the respective purchase and sale market?
So, for example, when somebody comes to us for a sale and purchase inquiry, we don't just give them, here's a list of five Aframaxes for sale. So if you go to any broker, that's what they would do and say, oh, what age of vessels are you interested in? Is it an Aframax? Is it an LR2? Okay, it's an LR2. Here are the five ships in that age bracket that are available. So we have those five ships which are available. We then go and use the system that we have to rate the vessels. So we look at the speed, the consumptions, the dimensions of the vessels, the various characteristics of the vessel. We rate the vessels, and then we go back to the owner and say that here are the five vessels which are in the market. As per our rating system, this is how the vessels are rated. Here are the top three. And we have consulted our sources in the market in terms of their trading because we know the trading of the vessel, we look at the history of the vessel, and we can say that actually the one to target is this one ship. So we are able to add value to the buyer of the vessel by providing them market intelligence, by providing them analysis, which the broker is not doing.
Okay, we actually have a bunch of questions here, so it's thank you everyone for submitting, and we'll try to get to everyone. How does CII EEXI EU ETS will have an impact on reducing the fleet from the old tonnage, and will and take market up? Yeah, but maybe we can just kind of get into that a little bit.
Yeah, so look, we prepared very early for the changes that were to come in on the sustainability and environmental aspect. So you mentioned CII, which is impacted by the trading, the EU ETS, where we are responsible for buying or providing the ETS for our owners. And so our systems are geared to measure. First place. And then, in terms of actually trading the EU ETS and providing it, there's also the fuel EU aspect that needs to be calculated. And then, mitigated if possible. So we have been at the forefront of all of these changes. In terms of reducing the fleet, I think over the coming years, you will see some impact from this as currently the cost of and complying with all of this is a cost. So this cost is put into the voyage costs, and because the earnings are so high, they're not relevant. It's not a big figure. However, going forward, as you may know, that these regulations require the fuel consumption to be reduced, and that requires investment in the asset. You cannot just reduce the speed of the asset to comply with these regulations. So at that point, when you have to start making investments, or you reduce the speed to such a level that you cannot comply with CP speed, some assets will be marginalized from the trades. So the oldest assets will be marginalized. But that is not something we are seeing in the market as yet.
And you mentioned having around 40 tankers under management now. With more deliveries coming, at what point does the platform really start to show operating leverage?
I think we need something like 60, 70 ships to get, let's say, full scale and have be back to where we really leverage the platform. So when you saw the number of vessels, when the number of vessels went down, we did not lay off people. We have maintained the people and the expertise that we have in the company, knowing what was coming. That pool in terms of numbers are also cyclical. In the low market, we actually add vessels. In the high market, we lose vessels because ship owners either sell vessels or time charter vessels out in the high market. So we have actually kept the platform in terms of size, and if anything, we have enhanced the platform. So as we get back the ships, like I said, we are projecting that by end of this year we should be at close to 70 vessels, assuming all those new buildings come in, and by next year we could be north of 80 vessels. That's when you see the true strength of the platform reflected in the numbers.
And during the presentation, you talked about the geopolitical events that are happening here over the last few years. But it would be helpful here and received a question, and in case anybody missed it, maybe get talk about the tanker rates have been all over the place, and there's obviously a lot going on geopolitically, is what the question is asking. How do you help owners manage earnings and limit downside in this type of market?
Yeah, so this is where our geographical spread and also our expertise in the market comes to bear. So if you were a small ship owner and you had one VLCC and you just fixed your ship at world scale 50 or 60 out of the AG, which was what it was maybe back in December or in November, and you left on a let's say 45-day round voyage, you would have completely missed out the upside in the market. Whereas, with the pools, we are able to average that out. So there is at least another ship and another ship that gets the upside. So you are able to participate in that upside. Also, based on market intelligence and our know-how. So an owner on commercial management came to us last month and basically said, fix my ship now. And we said to the person that no, you need to wait. The ship is not in the fixing window as yet, and we believe that the market is about to rise. So we waited for what was like 5 days, less than a week, and the market moved up 20%. And that 20% increase was worth another $500,000 in terms of freight. So this is where we are able to help owners pick and the time and when to fix. And also capture the upside, but also on the downside, when the rates really drop off, we are able to utilize the vessels to their full so that we can minimize the waiting time. Because of a relationship, about 30% of the cargoes that we fix are private. We are getting fixed, like the cargoes from all the brokers, but we also get cargoes from the oil coast directly. So we fix off markets some of these. So we are able to utilize the ship without having waiting time. Waiting time is a killer. If you're going to do a 30-day voyage and you end up with 5, 6, 7 day waiting time on top of that, your earnings come down dramatically because of those number of days. So This is something that we can mitigate in the down cycle. And then, of course, in terms of scale, the ability to buy insurance cheaply, the ability to buy bunkers at the most economical rate, the ability to buy bunkers and provide it without having 1 to 2 days waiting time, as can happen. So these are other ways where we help owners as well mitigate on the downside.
So we received a couple of questions on ship purchases. You talked a little bit during the presentation. Again, just to help answer these questions again, in case anybody has any follow-ups. Last year, you looked at buying a vessel, but decided not to move forward. Can you talk a bit about how you think those decisions and how you think through those decisions and how you think about capital discipline?
Yeah, so as I said, I'm not trying to create a ship owner over here. If anybody looks at my background, I have worked with ship owners many years. I started a company way back in 2013 where we invested almost $500 million in assets and created a new ship owner from scratch. This is not Heidmar, and that's not the strategy. We are doing projects where we find good investment opportunities. So the feeder size container vessel was a good opportunity when we decided to do that in June of last year. We said that the price was at a relatively high level, and it was, however, accompanied by a 2.5 year charter. And that was a condition for the seller to provide the 2.5 year charter. So as it happened, there were delays, and which everyone knows. I mean, we didn't take delivery of the vessel. There were delays, and so the charter length was not adequate to mitigate the risk, and it left us exposed at the back end. So we basically mutually agreed with the seller not to take delivery of the vessel. So we were very disciplined in making sure that we don't take any unmitigated risk that exposes the company's balance sheet. So in terms of going forward as well, we are not looking to buy assets that will trade on the spot market and will have unmitigated market risk. We are basically looking to buy assets that have time charter coverage that take care of the current high asset values. And we are sector agnostic. What matters more is that the investment is a good investment that protects the equity investment that we make and also leaves us with an asset where the resident value is not too high and is more like mid-cycle. So we're looking at tanker investments right now, for example, where tanker asset prices are quite high, as I've already mentioned in the presentation. However, there are 3 and 5 year time charters available in those sectors that mitigate that high price and bring the asset value in 3 to 5 years' time, maybe more like 5 years, to a what I would call mid-cycle plus type of level, which sounds interesting. So it's a sector that we're looking at right now because time charters are available. On feeder containers, for example, today seems a bit less interesting because a lot of feeder vessels have been ordered over the last 6 months, so it's not on top of my agenda. So we are assessing investments. We're not looking to create a fleet in the container sector or in the tanker sector or in the dry bulk sector.
And how are you thinking about paying dividends or returning capital to investors?
I think it's, I am a large investor myself. I have a small salary. So I'm also interested in dividends. However, it has to be at the right time. The board will consider this question when the financials of the company look good enough. We will look at the dividend question again, and the board will decide what is the right thing to do. But from a strategy standpoint, yes, I mean, there is always the investment in the business to grow the business as one driver, and there is always the return on capital to the investor. So we want to balance that approach. We don't want just the growth, but we also want the return on capital. So it is something that's definitely part of our strategy, but at the right time.
We have a follow-up question on the pool. Why would someone choose your pool versus other much larger ones like the INSWTI pool, for example?
The TI pool is in transition. I don't want to talk about that specifically, but in general, as you know, for example, Maersk bought out Penfield and has a very large, in general, if you look across the board, they probably manage north of 150 vessels. But you know, Heidmar and other pools have always been in the market. Heidmar was the company that started tanker pools in the industry because of what is your philosophy, what you offer to your customers. Heidmar is a very owner-friendly commercial manager. We think like the owner. We are very performance-oriented. Today, we have a very unique product where we are not only able to offer commercial management, but also offer technical management. So, you know, for example, Pertamina, the Indonesian national oil company, we have two ships on management from them. We have Trafigura as a client on the technical. We have Asiat Shipping from Oman as a client on technical as well. And then on the commercial side as well. So, you know, big, strong owners are our client because we provide the know-how, the market intelligence, the long-built relationships with the oilcos. We deal with all the oil companies in the world. There isn't a single oil company in the world or an oil trader that we do not deal with. We are KYC cleared by all those people. So there are many oilcos where a large owner has gone to the oil company and said, "I want to charter the ship to you." And the oil company turned around and said, "You're not KYC cleared. Please go to Heidmar and we can charter your ship through Heidmar."
Perfect. This could be one of your favorite questions. For investors following Heidmar today, what milestones should they be watching over the next year, 18 months, as the company continues to scale its platform and execute on its strategy?
I think, you know, from the technical side, like I said, I would like to have scale. We have a high quality product, and this is why we have the clients that I mentioned. I want scale. So I think that scale, I doubt that I will be able to achieve organically. It will require an acquisition. This is a stated goal. It's not something new. I've said this in the past as well. So an acquisition or M&A activity in general related to technical is a key stepping stone for me. It's a key milestone. And then in terms of the new build deliveries, my very large and strategic client, Capital, has a new building order book. It is a known fact. We have soft commitments from them. You know, we haven't signed up, they're not obliged to, but we have soft commitments from the partner in terms of putting the vessels in the Heidmar pools and under commercial management. And that will show the growth that I mentioned is not speculative growth. It's not growth that I project basis what I may be able to get. The growth numbers that I mentioned are basis what I see is coming. So as those vessels are delivered, we will be able to scale up the platform. And then, of course, we are tirelessly working to add more ships on top of that. So I'm hoping that maybe in this year we will end up with a strategic deal on the commercial side or on the technical side from a large client that will add 10, 20, 30 vessels to our fleet and will fast track the growth that we want to see.
Thank you, Pankaj. You have an impressive story. The questions were great questions that were submitted today. Thank you, everyone, for taking the time to join us today. This webinar will soon be made available for access on demand on Capital Link's website, www.capitallinkwebinars.com, and Capital Link's YouTube channel. It also will be made available on Heidmar's website. And as a reminder, that's www.heidmar.com. Thank you, Pankaj. Thank you, everyone. You may now disconnect.
Thanks a lot, everyone, and have a good day.